morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jay Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join the conversation. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, if you ever want to get in touch with the show, if you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic or something that's happening in your community, whether you're in La Crosse or Wausau or Hayward or Amory. Always email us at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And a reminder as well, we do have more weather that is coming across Wisconsin. Our very own Corey Hartman, engineer and all-around amazing person, is going to be joining us at 11:33 to talk about what we can expect as far as the weather goes the rest of today and certainly into tomorrow. Some communities might be getting hit pretty hard. So we will be updating you with that right after the 11:30 news. We wanted to start with this, though. We haven't done this in a while. A round of the good, the bad, and at least in this case, please make it go away. For the good, Greg Bach.
Yes.
Let's start with our friend, Senator Goldbar Bob Menendez.
Old Goldie?
Old Goldie. His corruption trial continues with more FBI testimony about the search of his home. This is from CBS News. As you'll remember, this is a Democrat. Bob Menendez is a Democrat from New Jersey, and he is accused of essentially working on behalf of foreign governments while he's working within the U.S. government. So jurors got to hold 1 kilogram gold bars in their hands.
I want to know how many of those jurors are like, if I just jump this little railing now and I make a dash for it, I can make it to, you know, Jamaica in 3 hours. Like, that's so weird.
This FBI agent was talking about the day that they held a raid on Goldbar Bob's home. On the floor of one of the closets, Greg Bach, they found a 1 kilogram gold bar inside a Ziploc bag wrapped in a paper towel.
I don't know if you know this, but when you wrap it in paper towel and put it in the Ziploc, keeps it fresh.
Because gold will rot.
It turns into silver, and then eventually copper.
Oh no! Ugh. In the same closet, they found a safe containing loose cash, envelopes of cash, 7 1-ounce gold bars, another 1 kilogram gold bar. Cash also found elsewhere in the house. They found $100,000 in a duffel bag and tens of thousands of dollars more inside boots and jacket pockets. I know I have a bank of boot as well. That's where I always keep my extra $50,000 to $60,000, $70,000.
I'm like Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. I have gold buried all over this building. You'll never find it. And the stuff you find is decoy gold. You'll never take me alive.
There was so much cash, according to the FBI, two agents had to bring 2 cash counting machines.
Oh, boy.
There was so much cash.
No one got hurt. Like, no one got physically hurt. It's so fun to laugh at this story because he got caught and he's facing the consequences right now.
And that's why this is good.
Exactly.
We are all for... No matter what political party you belong
exactly.
to, we are all for people being held accountable for their actions.
Yes.
And that's why this is a good thing.
And it's also a hilarious story because now it's just, you know, I've seen too many movies and I see all those montages. You know, like when you watch a drug movie, like a movie like a drug pin, and they get that first taste of success, and there's that montage where they don't know what to do with all the money. They're counting the money. They're smoking the money.
What
they're
do I do
diving
with all this money?
A pile of money. And I just imagine, like, the FBI say, we need a second money counter, and then just starts the montage. They're just trying to press through the money. Like, they're taking it to the limit.
In total, the FBI seized 11 one-ounce gold bars, 2 1-kilogram gold bars, and $486,461 in cash.
Wait. What? Okay, it was. I'm sorry. I want to do the math here on this. First of all, I will say underwhelming amount of cash for
really?
All the stuff they found. You'd expect to be like, we found $17 million in cash. Like,
I don't know. Almost half a million dollars in cash sounds like a lot of money to me.
It's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But the way they present it, just I don't know. I expected there to be way more. So you said how many ounces of gold?
They had 11 one-ounce gold bars and 2 1-kilogram gold bars, along with this almost $500,000 in cash when the FBI raided his home. At one point, I believe Bob Menendez said that because of the way he was raised in childhood, he likes to keep cash at home.
Hey.
And I can respect that to some extent. You want, you know, maybe $5,000, $10,000, but $486,000 in case of an emergency? Really?
And a rough running of the numbers, about $100,000 in gold.
Nice.
This is the gold thing that, like, okay, yes, you're right. Like, grandma used to put the cash in her mattress or in a coffee cup, under the bed. She didn't trust the banks.
Right.
I get that
too. I do too, to an extent.
But when you have gold on hand, that's getaway quick money. Because it works in Brazil, it works in Europe, it works in China. Gold is gold. So when you have $100,000 in gold in your house, that's like just in case money.
Yeah.
And that's worrisome.
Yeah, just in case I have to flee the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's our good, because we think this is good.
Good job.
Again, he has not been convicted yet. He hasn't been convicted yet.
He has not. But we did early reports at the beginning of the trial said he was going to blame his wife, who's sick.
Yeah.
They just announced she's sick. And I don't want to say I don't believe it, but I'm just going to say the news is convenient.
It does raise maybe some eyebrows.
Yes.
I mean, I don't wish ill on her.
No.
Certainly. I don't want, and if she's really ill, I hope she gets the help that she needs. But he and his wife are both accused of working on behalf of the Egyptian government. While he is in the United States Senate.
And he's still a senator, so guess what his wife gets? Great health care.
Yeah, she sure does.
Yep.
That was the good. Moving on to the bad. I have to grit my teeth.
Don't do it so hard that you're going to pop a tooth.
And stay calm. Sean Combs.
Nope, say the nickname.
Diddy.
There it is.
Sean Diddy Combs.
We also would have accepted Puffy, yeah. Puff Daddy, or Padiddy, or Love.
Yeah, I have some other terms I'd like to call him, but I don't think I can use those according to FCC regulations. On Friday, CNN released footage from a stay that Sean Combs had in a hotel with his then-girlfriend in 2016. Now, the girlfriend, Cassie, sued him.
Yes.
For abuse, rape.
Yes.
All kinds of terrible allegations. I believe she filed in November of 2023. They settled the case the next day. But Sean Combs never accepted any of the responsibility, never acknowledged that he had abused her, never called her a liar, smeared her.
Yeah.
She made everything up. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. She's lying on me. And then CNN releases this footage. That's just horrifying.
Yeah.
It's just horrifying. So she is seen trying to leave this hotel. She's waiting to get on the elevator. Sean Combs comes running out of his hotel room, naked except for a towel he's holding around his waist.
Yeah.
Punches her in the head. She falls to the ground. While she's on the ground, he kicks her twice because he's a coward. That makes me so angry.
Well, actually,
you would kick someone who is on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
What a manly man thing to do. You must be so proud.
I mean, I don't think I could see something make you more angry, but the video itself, I think, made you even more angry.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, because he's trying to use that moment to say, I've done some reflection. Like you said, he doesn't apologize.
Well, let's back up because now yesterday he issued an apology.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Quote.
Yeah, quote. So Sean Combs yesterday releases this 90-second video, and we're not going to play it because it just makes me so angry, and essentially says, I was at a really low point in my life. It's really hard to look at your life and do self-reflection, but I've had therapy now, and I'm working to be a better human. Good. That's all good.
That's wonderful.
But as you said, he never apologized to this woman.
Nope.
He never It's on tape now. We've all seen what you did to her.
Yeah.
After she punched her in the head and then she's on the ground and he kicks her twice. Then he drags her back into the hotel room.
Yeah.
He's never admitted that he lied about the whole thing. He's never taken responsibility. I don't feel ownership of this. Yes, I punched her. Yes, I kicked her when she was on the floor. Yes, I dragged her. No, it was just, I've done some self-reflection and it's been really hard. And, oh, that was bad. He never apologizes to her. He never apologizes for smearing her reputation.
He never says her name.
No, he never even mentions her.
And, you know, honestly, I said to you earlier that I'm sure his lawyer said, if you say her name, you will be in more trouble than you can imagine. But also the thing, too, is if you've been, like, I'm not going to, I want to say this and say it correctly. If he's gone to therapy, if he's done the work to make himself better, if he's grown as a person, I can't take that away from him. I won't doubt it. I don't know him, but I will say this. If he did those things, I would want in that video, yeah, and I've made apologies to the person. I have made amends. I've done the work. I don't expect forgiveness. Like, if you've done nothing, in my opinion, if you don't apologize, and if you haven't reached out to that person to say, I've wronged you, I've hurt you, away from us.
Yep.
Where we can't see it, but you can come back and be like, hey, I've worked on this and I'm not going to tell her to talk to you about it, but she can corroborate that we have had conversations. There is somewhat of a path of moving forward, but this is just another celebrity who's like, man, this sucks, man. I can't believe I did that.
And got caught.
I got caught. Yeah, you're not. Yeah, once again, you're not. Well, you didn't apologize. You're not apologizing because you feel bad. You're apologizing because you got caught.
Exactly. The good, the bad. Oof. And next, please make it go away.
Yeah.
It's fruit related.
It's fruit related, but
you'll be astounded or confused.
Is the run by fruiting?
Run by fruiting. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. And again, you can always join us at 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Dr. Slide on the board. We're coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, 1130 News, when we come back from that, Corey Hartman will be here, our very own civic media engineer and a weather expert, and he's going to give us an update on what, because we have a lot more weather coming our way the rest of today.
Right,
you
now
can see it coming. Yeah, coming today and even into tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Corey's going to join us at 11:33 to tell us what we can expect. Right now, though, we're wrapping things up with the good, the bad, and oh, please, make it go away. Just kind of stumbled upon this over the weekend, Greg Bach from CNN. All right, we'll just do a quick round robin. If you had an extra $400... laying around, you have an extra $400 just laying around, what would you buy with your $400? Calvin.
I don't know. I'd either just save it or maybe like a grill, like a Blackstone grill.
Ooh.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm going to make one caveat on this. You can't save it. You have to spend it.
You have to spend it. You have to spend your $400. So Calvin's going to buy a grill.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I would probably buy some higher end guitar parts.
I like that.
Or a grill, actually, because our grill took our grill took a dump this weekend. So, but yeah.
If I had an extra $400, I would hire someone to dig out these plants that are taking over my yard, and I can't find anyone to help me because all the landscapers are too busy.
Hey, anybody who's listening right now,
you want to earn an easy $400? I have some anemones that need to be dug out of my back garden. They're driving me crazy.
I have some enemies who need to be dug out of my back garden. See what I did there? Words Whoa. Are fun. Okay.
All right. Well, some people, apparently, if they have an extra $400, guess what they spend it on? The Ruby Glow Pineapple.
Is that a jewel?
No, it's a fruit. The ruby gold pineapple, bred for its distinctive red exterior and its sweetness, cost $395.99 at Melissa's Produce in California, where they sell specialty fruit and vegetables. It took Del Monte a decade and a half to come up with the Ruby Glow pineapple.
Oh, Ruby Glow.
Ruby Glow. Again, it's red on the outside. Pineapple's already pretty sweet. I didn't realize we needed another sweeter pineapple. And there's a big call for just to make it red?
It looks like a ham. It looks like ham. Like, you cut it open. Like, someone said, here, would you like a slice? I'm like, I don't want any ham. Oh, no, it's pineapple. I'm like, no, that's ham. You open it up. I hate this so much.
We will put a link in the show notes.
I won't. This is ungodly.
So it kind of looks like an alien, doesn't it?
It does. It doesn't look right. It looks wrong. It looks like it's underdone. And you said a decade and a half?
It took Del Monte a decade and a half to come up with the Ruby Glow pineapple.
I would really like to know how much money the Del Monte, which is Spanish for of the Monte, how much they put into R&D for this, and how many of the Ruby Glow pineapples they need to sell to make a stitch of a profit. Because you said $395.
And 99 cents.
That is, you know what? When people talk about inequality and inequity and pay inequality and things like that, and the rich and the if you walk into a store and you say to yourself, I need to buy this, I never want to hang out with you. I never want to hang out with you because I'll buy you a $7 pineapple. I'll even open it up for you and cut it up. But if you think you need a $395 pineapple, we have different values.
Well, and then you kind of wonder, it's like, are you taking it places with you just so people can, oh, what's that? Well, it's my Ruby Glow pineapple. That's, you know, it's worth it. I would wear it as a watch if I could.
You have to hang out with people who can appreciate that. I'm telling you right now, if I walked into any place here, my other job, my house, well, first of all, I'd be thrown out of the house if I walked into it with a $395.99 pineapple. Mm. Everyone would be like, are you on drugs right now? Is that pineapple making you high?
Cindy Ranvichtwick, fresh produce strategist for Rabobank's global research team, says when it comes to specialty produce, there's always a small market for higher-end restaurants or foodies or certain online channels. Americans interested in new fruit varieties in recent years, paying a premium for Honeycrisp apples, cotton candy grapes, Sumo citrus, and vertically grown Japanese strawberries.
Yeah, we're doomed. We're doomed. This is exactly what we deserve. And there's always a story out there where it says, we got together five of the biggest sommeliers in America and gave them table like $2 chuck. And they couldn't tell a difference because when you tell somebody you're eating $400 pineapple, they're going to believe you. Because all you have to do is, I'm going to use the term again, zhuzh it up. And like, can you taste the ruby citrus, sour, blah, 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 blah. Like, oh my God, I can't. I'm like, that is a $2 can of pineapple.
Some specialty fruits have developed cult followings. Cotton candy grapes, named for their sweetness, hit the scene in 2011. Sumo citrus, a hybrid of navel oranges, pomelos, and mandarins, has exploded in several years, and those are really ugly. I'm sorry to all the Sumo citrus fans, but that's one ugly fruit.
Sumo citrus. Sumo. Okay, folks, we're just, if you are on the live stream, you can watch us, because like now I'm just, what? That doesn't look like we can put that on television.
It looks like a genetic mistake. It looks
suggestive.
But really?
I don't know.
Well, I suppose.
Because cotton candy grapes, that just looks interesting to me. And sugar content is 12% higher.
If they're cotton candy grapes, they should be fuzzy on the outside.
If they're cotton candy grapes, I should be eating them on a stick. But I love grapes. I can eat grapes all the time. I just adore grapes. I don't think I'd, because they're perfectly sweet. 12% more, I could have one. I'm like, this is too much.
Too sweet.
Yeah.
Well, now you know, if you have an extra $400 lying around your house, you just don't know what should I do with this $400. You can buy a Ruby Glow pineapple and then take it around and show it to your friends and they will be impressed, I guess.
Hello, Bridget. Oh, my wife's on the phone right now. Bridget, I wanted to, can I buy a $395 pineapple? Hello? Hello. She didn't say, it sounds like a yes to me.
Gosh, absolutely, that's a yes. All right. The good, the bad, and oh, please make it go away. Thank you for joining us for that. Corey Hartman will be here when we get back from the 11:30 news to talk about all the weather that is coming our way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. Hey, they call it Stormy Monday.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio in quickly darkening Waukesha, Wisconsin. Wow. You can always join the show at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to actively ruin. We do have storms heading our way. Corey Hartman, engineer extraordinaire and weather expert as well. Good morning, Corey. Thanks for making time for us today. How are you doing?
I think you're building me way too up. Expert of everything or whatever you just said.
You're pretty magnificent. At least in my estimation.
He's a sky god knower.
He's a sky god, yes. A sky god knower. So we really do have, we're not out of the woods yet. We had that little round, at least I live in the northwest side of Milwaukee, that came through earlier this morning. Made it really hard to get out of bed because I love the sound of the rain coming down.
Right.
But this looks like we got some really heavy duty stuff coming yet today and into tomorrow, right?
Yeah, and it's really multiple rounds of weather, too. So we had some stuff this morning. Looking at the radar now, you talked about it darkening there in Waukesha. There's a little shower off to the west of town, so nothing big. There's some little heavier showers and storms that are down by Burlington. Those will move over toward our friends in Racine, Kenosha. There's a pretty good storm up by Fond du Lac right now. And then there's a little line that is starting to form back in southwestern Wisconsin, southwest of Dodgeville. So there is the potential today. Day of some severe weather, but the bigger show is tomorrow. And for our friends who are watching online, we're going to put some of those graphics up here as well.
All right. So what time tomorrow do you think this stuff is going to be moving through?
Yeah. So tomorrow, again, there's going to be multiple rounds. We're going to have a few storms that come through here this afternoon. And then overnight tonight toward early tomorrow morning, the western part of the state and pretty much the central part of the state could have a good windstorm. And I'm talking 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow morning. And then there's another round of storms at about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Those are going to be in southwestern Wisconsin. Those could have tornadoes with them.
Oh, my.
And then the final push, the final cold front comes through, and that's going to be 7, 8, maybe 9 p.m. tomorrow night. And that one could also have severe weather, including strong winds and hail. So I'm just going to camp out here in the headquarters for the next 48 hours.
You're not going anywhere. You're just going to be living there as all the alerts start coming through and things like that. And certainly we want you to be up on that and know what's coming because it's important. And I don't know if anybody saw coverage over the weekend of what happened in downtown Houston. It wasn't a tornado, but they did have 80-mile-an-hour winds over the weekend. 80-mile-an-hour winds. There are high rises in downtown Houston that had almost all the windows blown out.
Right.
It's amazing. And
not quite as big of a town, but Salina, Kansas, yesterday had tennis ball size hail and a clocked wind gust of 101 miles per hour from a massive storm that rolled across Kansas yesterday afternoon and evening.
And we're in downtown Waukesha right now. And from the beginning of this discussion we were having to right now, the sky's just popped open. It is pouring. It's pouring down. And I think it's going to get even more. And of course, every time I leave after work, it's just, come on now. But yeah, we lost power too a couple of times for milliseconds, but still it's not ideal.
Did the battery backups hold? That's all I want to know.
The chipmunks kicked in almost instantaneously. It was incredible.
Good. Yeah, I got lost a little bit in the live stream for a moment. The computer had to kick back on for the internet, but it was still. I mean, it was not fun.
Oh, tennis ball sized hail, Corey. I can't even imagine the kind of damage that can do.
The damage it can do, but I mean, what causes it is that is the updraft in the storm. So all mature thunderstorms have an updraft right in the center, right? And you have to have some air moving to hold that size of a hailstone up. And that's how hail's created. It starts with a very tiny water droplet that goes up into the upper atmosphere. It freezes. It falls back down. If the updraft is strong enough, it pulls it back into the upper levels of the atmosphere where it's below freezing. And the more times it does that cycle, that's how you get it bigger and bigger and bigger until it's too much for the storm to hold and it comes crashing down.
Look what we learned today. I did not know that.
That's okay. The damage, the injury, all that's terrible. But that's so interesting.
Well, and isn't it? It's like, so you're essentially growing a snowball, except it's an ice ball, right?
It's an ice ball. And it's whatever the updraft can support, it will stay up in the cloud. And then as soon as that updraft either dissipates or the hailstone gets too big, and we're talking, you know, tennis ball, softball, I mean, whatever you get, whatever it can't support anymore, that's when the hail core will fall to the ground.
I have a hail question then.
Sure.
So if it's being brought up and sustained by the updraft, once the storm is done, does it just melt in the atmosphere then and just go away and come back as residual rain? Or because in essence then, from what I'm hearing, and I'm not very smart, is all that hail is up in the clouds, and once the storm is done, it would fall then to the ground, but apparently it melts, right?
Yeah, so as it gets back through the freezing layer, it will melt more, and as it gets closer to the ground, it might melt before it reaches the surface. So there's a lot of vertical happening here in these storms. Everybody just thinks, oh well, what's happening at the ground level? But there's 50,000 feet of stuff happening above your head when there's storms going on.
Corey Hartman is our guest. If you're just joining us, he is one of our extraordinary engineers here at Civic Media, and also knows his weather. How did you get into weather, Corey? What was, because we've talked to Brittany Merlot about this, and she was essentially really afraid of weather, and that's why she went to confront her fears. So what was it that drew you in?
Yeah, Brittany and I have talked about that a little bit, and I had a little bit of that going on at first, but really it was through broadcasting. You know, I've been doing radio and television for a really long time, and you know, I had to do my time in South Dakota, and you know, there's tornado warnings every day in the summer there, it seems like, and so you really had to know. But I thought that a tornado watch, which of course means the conditions are favorable for tornadoes, meant for sure that a tornado was going to hit my house at 2:30 in the morning.
Oh my.
You know,
oh my
goodness. So I'd freak out. I'd go to the basement. I'd sleep in the basement with the spiders and whatever. And yeah, I was for sure that was what was going to happen. And then I realized, you know, I really got to get my wits about me. And it's kind of like, you know, fear of flying or anything else, I guess. And the more you learn about it, the better off you are. And that's really what I had to do. But it came through broadcasting, and mine has always been, you know, teaming up technology and weather with broadcast, and that's how I got started.
It sounds, I don't know, shockingly like science.
Yeah, it is. And when you're the station meteorologist, you are the station scientist. So you know, they're going to come to you when there's an earthquake or when there's a wildfire or when there's whatever, locusts, I guess. And so those things you have to know about. And I've always liked science. I like space. I like anything in the air. I'll chase anything. Northern Lights, we just had one of the craziest rounds of Northern Lights we've ever had. I didn't get a chance to experience an earthquake when I was out in California a couple months ago, and I was actually slightly disappointed by that. Corey, I just wanted a small one, like a four, just to, oh, that's what that's like. And you know, and I have no desire to chase a hurricane.
I've gotten through an earthquake, and it's fine. It's
you're like, fine.
You're well, laying as there. It's not a 7.5, you know.
Yeah. It was like a 3.5, and I was laying there in bed, and I woke up, and I said to my sister-in-law, I'm like, was that an earthquake? She goes, it was nothing. I'm like, no, it's the earth shaking. It's something. No, it's everything something. Moving. Yeah.
And just a suggestion, Corey, follow the San Andreas Fault on Twitter. It's hilarious.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
I follow the Empire State Building, not nearly as exciting.
Mount St. Helens is great.
Mount St. Helens is another great follow, and as is Lake Superior. So much attitude from these natural resources. It's incredible.
Do you know what's another good follow on Twitter? This right down here. Severe Studios. So when stuff's happening, we are posting all the time, and warnings auto tweet. We've got it all going on over there, but we put a ton of information on @SevereStudios. Okay.
We will include that in our show notes.
Yep.
Make sure that's there. And this is always a good reminder too, I think, to download that 511wi.gov because when we do have big downpours like this and storms, sometimes that can launch a whole bunch of accidents.
Mm-hmm. I heard you talking about that earlier. And you know, one of the things we use Google Maps for is when a tornado goes through and we're curious what the path was. You can turn on Google Maps, and if it crossed any big highways, it's red or black sometimes right there in that, and you can kind of figure out where the tornado went because the traffic can't get through because there's power lines and stuff down.
Interesting.
So, you know, and we're kind of talking about that, and I never want to be an alarmist. I don't want people to be freaked out. I just want them to be aware and plan. And it does look like from, let's say, Richland Center to Madison, maybe up here to Baraboo, tomorrow, we really have to watch that tornado threat. There could be actually a strong tornado, which is an F3 or above, that comes through somewhere southwest corner of Wisconsin tomorrow. So that's why we're on. And we just want people to be not scared, be prepared kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we'll be able to squeeze you in sometime tomorrow morning so you can give us a little bit of an update. And I want to remind folks, too, the last big downpour that we had in Milwaukee, there was so much ponding water that people were hydroplaning on the freeway. And this one guy was heading, I believe it was southbound 94, and hit this huge pool of standing water, hydroplaned, and crashed into the median wall. It was terrifying. So that's also something that we all need to keep in mind when we have really heavy downpours like this moving through.
Absolutely. And it's not just, you know, regular everyday people. Last night in Oklahoma City at about 10 o'clock at night, we had a very experienced storm chaser who reports for Channel 9 in Oklahoma City. He actually hydroplaned and tipped his car over. And they're okay. And somehow they got it back on the wheels and kept chasing. But yeah, they spun out on one of the freeways in Oklahoma City while they were broadcasting live on television.
Boy,
so
that's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a little bit scary, and it's, you know, everybody kind of knows each other, especially the people that have been doing it for a while in the weather world. So guy's name was Val Castor, and anybody that's watched any weather, any documentaries from Oklahoma City knows Val, and they're okay, thankfully.
Thank goodness.
But that was a little scary to see up in the corner of the screen as he's spinning around in the middle of the freeway and rolling. So somehow they got it back on the wheels. But hydroplaning, really the driving, everybody always asks me, well, isn't storm chasing scary and dangerous? Well, it can be, but really the amount of driving that we do to get to storms is way more dangerous than the tornado itself. You usually now in 2024, between radar and all the technology we have, you know where the tornado is, but you don't know where that puddle of water is going to be or where somebody's going to be parked on the side of the road, or, you know, the traffic and the weather to get to the weather is usually worse than the tornado itself.
Sharky from Racine has been waiting. Hi, Sharky. We only have about a minute left. What did you want to say?
Hey, I love this. I love the show. Conspiracy theorists. I'll heat you up a little bit. For my eighth grade, my son's science class, we decided that we were going to try to build a tornado box. And so in his school, we got the permission. And so we got into my basement, got all the tools out, and we built a box about 6 foot tall. And we did all the things according to construction. And guess what? I had a 5 to 6 foot tornado in my basement. So whatever that means, it's like nobody believes the story. We replicated it at school, and I got an A++++. But they told me, try not to do it when we don't have permission to fly a tornado around the parochial school.
Thank you, Sharky. And thank you so much for listening. I always appreciate it. I didn't know that you could build a tornado box.
You can build a tornado simulator. There's some in museums. There's some in Oklahoma City at some of the test beds. So I completely believe it.
Well, we will talk about this more. Corey Hartman at Severe Studios. If you want to follow them on Twitter, keep you updated with all of the weather information. We'll hopefully talk to you again tomorrow, Corey, and you can give us an update with what we can expect.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Stay close. When we return, saying goodbye to a wonderful character actor. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, always ready to take your calls at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very busy show today.
Yeah.
Last half hour, we did a round of the good, the bad, and please make it go away. I found an article from CNN about a very pricey pineapple. You can get it for only $395.99, the Ruby Glow Pineapple, for fruit snobs, apparently.
Anyone get one, cut it open. Tell me it doesn't look like ham.
We had a couple of texts when we were talking about that we're just getting to now, so thank you for your patience. Mark from Prairie du Sac, if you want a red-fleshed fruit, get some raspberries, strawberries, or ruby grapefruit. Love ruby grapefruit. Mm. Not to mention cherries for the love of the goddess. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was what, cotton candy grapes?
Yeah. That sounds... It's 12% more the sugar.
12% sweeter.
Can't be healthy. Wow. I don't care if it is fruit. It doesn't sound healthy.
Angie from Monroe has a great grape recipe. Green grapes, celery, cucumber, egg yolk, mash... Mustard, mayo, pecans, yum. Craisins, optional, salt to taste. That sounds really delicious.
I don't know about this one.
Really?
I mean, egg yolk, mustard. It sounds like deviled eggs with pecans, craisins, and grapes.
Well, it's worth a try.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I always love to see other people's recipes.
Hey, do your thing, Jelly Bean. If you like it, go for it. Just when you... It's one half of like, it's a deviled egg recipe. And the other half is like, this is a fruit salad. I'm confused now.
It's just a different kind of fruit salad. Steve Jensen on a live stream, as far as the Ruby Glow pineapples, I guess the Pink Glow is a little bit cheaper. I'll have to look into that. Maybe they're only $200. The original people are going to like sneer at you.
Oh, it's a Pink Glow.
Aren't you cute?
Oh, that's so funny.
That's so cute. Nice try. I have a ruby glow instead. All right.
They're $15.
Oh, well, that's actually affordable.
So it looks like the only difference is it's ruby on the inside. It's pink on the inside versus what looks to be a red on the outside ham looking pineapple for $40.
Again, if you wanted to check out any of this stuff, it will all be included in the show notes. You can find, which Greg does a great, very detailed job, you really do, with links to the stories that we talk about and links to just about everything else. So if you ever want to go back and follow up on some of those articles and read those articles, go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and then just go to Matinee on Air, and that will take you to our show page that has every episode, every show, yep, with the little descriptions that Greg writes up with the links in them. So it's really very useful.
Yeah, and you can also download the show at your podcast distribution center of choice. You can subscribe to the show, make it upload the show. It comes out twice a day, so we get both hours. And just as a side note, I will not be putting on the website where to find a ruby glow pineapple, because I do not endorse that sort of money spending. And I once got really drunk and bought a guitar on eBay. So I have the judgment skills. Never buy a $400 pineapple.
Good to know. Well, you're not trying to impress the same people, apparently.
I'll never impress them.
Right. We wanted to say goodbye to Dabney Coleman.
Yeah.
Wonderful character actor. He was 92.
Yeah.
I did not realize he was that old. Dabney Coleman died Thursday at his home in Santa Monica. He started out, and I had forgotten about this, Mary Hartman.
Yep.
Was this really unique, odd soap opera spoof.
Yeah.
That aired at night, because I can remember watching this as a tween.
It was a primetime show.
Was it primetime?
I believe so, yeah.
But he started as a character on Mary Hartman. I think he is probably best known for his roles in Tootsie and 9 to 5, certainly 9 to 5. He was the boss that Lily Tomlin and Dolly Parton and Jane Fonda had to plot against because he was such a terrible person.
I tried to find a clip of him saying, because I'm a racist, hypocritical, racist, sexist, egotistical bigot, and that scene where Lily Tomlin just goes, ha, 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 ha.
And launches him out of the chair.
Yeah, it's... And for me growing up, he was in a movie called Cloak and Dagger, which was forgotten, but I watched it all the time and I loved it. He played a spy that lived in the mind of a little boy.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
It's not
Academy Award winning,
but if for watching it as a 9-year-old, very entertaining. And I was telling you before the show, I was watching, You've Got Mail last weekend, and he's in the movie. He plays Tom Hanks' father.
I forgot about that.
And I just thought to myself, my gosh, is Dabney Coleman still around? I wonder how old. And I just didn't think about it. And then 3 days later, we find out. Just such a good actor. There's more movies. He's made so many movies.
Because so many of his characters were terrible people.
Yeah.
And yet you couldn't help but kind of like him.
Yeah. You can't. Oh, he was in War Games. Love War Games.
Oh, that's another good one.
Donald McKittrick. Yeah, he's never evil. Like Frank Hart in 9 to 5 isn't evil. He's not a good dude.
He's a bad person.
He's a bad person. But you're also kind of like, I know a Frank Hart. Eh, whatever. You know. he was the man with one red shoe. Did you ever see that movie? Tom Hanks.
Steve Martin.
No. That's the man with two brains. The Man with One Red Shoe is a Tom Hanks movie where he plays a guy mistaken for a spy. And everyone thinks he's this brilliant spy and he's really an orchestra violinist.
Oh my.
Yeah, it's another fun, forgotten comedy.
He also, and this is in the Hollywood Reporter, they did a nice little recap of his career. I talked about, he really came from he was kind of small potatoes when he joined 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And they were all very established.
Yes.
Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton. And he does say in this article about how they just all went out of their way to make me feel equal. There's no other way to put it.
See, and that just goes to speak how amazing those three ladies are as well. I mean, just come on now. Just, I love it. I love it. He didn't make a lot of movies in the end, so I can't say I'm going to miss his films, but when I watch, the Beverly Hillbillies, like, oh, there's Dabney Coleman. He was in the movie remake with Jim Varney. It's actually pretty good.
All right. Thank you so very much, Greg Bach and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works, especially when we have, I don't know, power outages and stuff like that. Thank you so much to our guests. And most of all, thank you to all of you for calling and for texting and for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is next, followed by Todd Alba on the Civic Media Radio Network.